Hi there, and welcome to episode 158 of the AD. Is that right? Of the ADHD Adults podcast.
Or
I'm James
59?
Brown, the man who.
Oh no, it is 58.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Thank you. No, it's okay. It's just expected now, isn't it? Standard practice. Yeah. I'm James Brown, the man who something something fangs something something long in the tooth, and I'm joined by Dr. Alex Connor, who actually has more teeth than usual. Only they're kept in a jar he occasionally fondles. And the woman whose commitment to brushing her teeth for 2 minutes twice a day makes me feel like a dirty little child. Ding. Mrs. ADHD. Alex, hi.
Give us a smile, love. Might never happen.
What?
Give us a smile because of your teeth.
And also, yeah. No. It's the thing that makes me want to smash men in the face.
Yeah, it's what misogynists say. he does know that, Sam. What he was doing there was a comedic pause of aggression and anger.
Sam, hi.
Hi.
How are you both, Mrs. ADHD first?
I'm a bit tired. My gums are sore, coincidentally.
Oh, interesting.
Yes, excellent. And my tongue is sore and white. How about you?
Nope. And Alex, he says, frustratedly, how are you?
I'm excellent. Thank you, James. Very nice to see you both. Well, the numbers intern has told me that the jingle probably isn't ready yet. And you
No, it is.
It. Is it? Oh,
and it's you're out, it's out jingle. There.
Damn it.
It's out there. It's not. No, it's no. No, of course it's not a fucking jingle. It's not a fucking jingle. It's a piece of music that was crafted. I say crafted, but certainly Pat did most of the
into
crafting because I'm shit at the guitar.
DJ sake. Sessions is a star. He sent me my own turmeric selling jingle. I don't know if you've heard it. It's just incredible.
Yeah, I've heard it. I've heard it. It's good.
Amazing. And Tarquin's also told me that the graphs for all the listener numbers for all 150. Seven previous episodes all look the same because metrics are boring. This review isn't boring, though, from David Ninny Beersworth, which says, I'm 5 minutes into this podcast, and it's like listening to a children's book. Cliff, Biff, and Chipper have a mental health crisis. I love you all so much. Purple Heart. It's one of our favourite reviews we've ever had.
That is a good one.
One of whom has sent me a letter.
Grammatically perfect.
Thank you. That's right, James. It's from I'm just gonna check. Oh, definitely my letters. It's from that's loads of letters. Sam, I rifle through them in my head. That's what that
it
means.
It looks like snotty tissue paper.
Well, it's just a piece of paper. I've been using this exact one for like a year, so that's why.
Oh,
you mean
God,
you don't? You're not actually receiving physical paper letters from my dead father in heaven? That's.
I am. I just don't
see the illusion them up
for sound effect purposes.
Written on vellum.
It is from a Robert from Kidderminster, actually. Good guess. It says, I listened to your episode on ADHD and the gut. How come you didn't talk about the benefits of a daily pint of O negative blood? It works to keep James both pasty and furious. Good question, Robert. Science isn't ready for Draculas yet, that's why. Although Yakult are probably all over that. Don't drink blood. It's bad for real humans.
Well,
I've had a real letter. Are you ready?
Nope.
Yes.
Thank you. It's from Heather's ADHD Clinic, NC. Does that mean North Carolina? I don't know what it means.
Or not.
It says, I love listening to you guys, all three of you, equally. Nothing to argue about there, so probably won't be chosen, which is really fine by me. False, Heather. I feel like I know you all, even though I am many, many, many miles away and we've never met. My husband doesn't have ADHD, thank goodness, otherwise I'm not sure our children would have survived this long. That being said, he tries to be supportive, but he truly doesn't understand how difficult some things are for me as they come easily to him. I like to think that he sees me as a beautiful mess. That's what my wife sees me as. Your podcast has really helped me to feel understood and to come to accept my quirks and the fact that I have a true disability and much more open with my diagnosis and cognizant not to take on tasks and responsibilities that are, as I say, not my gift. Anywho, James, they've written. I love that. Anywho, thank you. I should really get back to work. It's been a hell of a tough focus day for me. Before I do, I want to share with you an email I received from my ADHD clinic this morning that I thought was just too brilliant not to share with my friends in inverted commas, Sam Rabbit Ears, James, who I don't really know and who don't know me at all. It's a mass email Mailmo situation, so I'm not alarmed that it's personally addressed to me this time. Anyway, hi, Heather. We've started getting someone's auto ship of dog food. Please know that we have it in our office if you are missing it. Thank you. Sincerely. Heather's ADHD Clinic, NC. Oh, it's Heather's ADHD Clinic that replied it. That's not who it's from, because there's a letter within a letter, and I haven't paid attention. This person is not Heather. Fact, we haven't got a name on it at all. Says after that, I meant to add in my message just a moment ago that you all have been literally laughing out loud in my office, LLOL, quite frequently, which just makes me feel like a sad human because you do not know me and I do not know you. But alas, your injections are funny, like I'm with old friends. Okay, getting too mushy, I'm out. And we're calling you Heather this whole time. I say we, me. Who is it from? That's what I want to know, because we haven't asked permission.
Well, you're going to send Mrs. ADHD off on a rabbit hole of trying to work out who it's from. No, at some point, when I'm about to say something which is incredibly funny, she's just going to go, Charlotte! Or
something like that. Well, it's bound to be Heather, isn't it?
No.
No.
What?
No. Because she wrote, there was a letter within the letter from Heather's
ADHD.
Oh,
yeah, it says hi.
Yes,
Heather.
It's from her ADHD clinic. It's the ADHD clinic that she goes to. She's accidentally put their address in.
And they it is Heather.
Yeah. Once again, the quality of this podcast is reliable. Yeah. Well, yeah.
It's quite reliable, James.
I actually think we've got to the point where Gabby can't even imagine being as professional as we are. And she's probably given up podcasting, I imagine, at this point.
I think so too. Thanks, Heather, who also owns an ADHD clinic. It's baffling, but we'll get through it. As usual, Tarquin, the Jingles intern, has given me some information about another city we have listeners in. It's the beautiful Norwich in Norfolk, where we have at least 61 listeners, probably, according to Tarquin's research. I mean, he's a bit busy buying gold with Sam's dad. Apparently, the Norwich City Council once passed a motion to change the value of pi, so it was just rounded down to exactly 3. It just made engineering calculations a lot easier for all the local students. It was fine, because maths doesn't really matter. Thanks.
I wish that, I mean, that would make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Really.
It would make things a lot easier. It wouldn't work.
It'd be fine, I'm sure, probably.
Incorrect. Anyway, as usual, this LinkedIn post enthusiastically says work hard, play hard, written by someone for whom neither has ever happened of a podcast, is a tragedy in 3 parts. We choose a theme. Last time round, it was about ADHD and the gut. And this week, we're going to be discussing ADHD and oral ding health. The 3 parts include the anything Melissa McCarthy has done since the film Spy of Evidence, Alex the Psycho, Education Monkey.
Hello.
Talking about the theme. Then in part 2, in the new format, we give our personal reflections and dirty tips on oral hygiene. And then we'll answer questions sent in the final sections, which we're imaginatively calling your questions or something. I don't know. So, Alex, I actually couldn't remember this. You used to have a mantra that included dog food and teeth or something, because I didn't really listen. Take us to teeth school.
Food, teeth and hair.
Still do. It's not a mantra. It's just a coping strategy. Melissa McCarthy, the one from Gilmore Girls. That was a weird program.
That's the worst example. No, she was in a film called Tammy. Her name's not Tammy Wynette. It just, oh God.
Like Tammy Wynette. Right. Oral. Anyone? Or dental hygiene is crucial for maintaining overall health and well-being, even impacting not just oral health, but also contributing to the prevention of other diseases. And dentists often pick up other diseases by the effects on their oral health. Firstly, good dental hygiene keeps your teeth healthy. Are you still with us there, James? That means healthy nom-noms. Good nom-noms.
Is it because people are so close to their faces?
No, dentists don't catch diseases. They identify other issues in the body when they're looking in someone's mouth.
Yeah, okay, they're not catching them going, oh, I've got gout. You must have gout.
Yeah, that's not what I thought.
No, okay, that's not how gout works.
I didn't say it was.
By removing plaque, dental hygiene practices prevent tooth decay and cavities, holes, James, helping to ensure you keep your teeth well, so you can eat and speak properly.
Yeah.
It also helps in preventing gum disease, Sam, which can lead to tooth loss and has been linked to more serious conditions like heart disease. there are some studies showing the bacteria linked to more, sorry, the bacteria that infect the gums, and that's what causes gingivitis or one of those gum diseases. They can travel to other blood vessels in the body and cause the inflammation of those vessels and even tiny blood clots, possibly heart attacks, strokes. It's really important to keep your teeth healthy, and that's difficult for us.
Mm. We'll wait, Sam. We'll wait. Mm. Don't worry.
Is gingivitis you've had a good week. Real? I thought you it was made week, up. Do people in general have good hygiene, dental hygiene then?
Did you just say is gingivitis real?
She's thinking of halitosis. She's thinking of halitosis. She's thinking of halitosis.
I am, yes, that's right. Do people in general have good dental hygiene then?
Well, halitosis, James, isn't made up. It's not the Netherlands.
It was made up for Listerine.
I thought Listerine invented it to sell mouthwash. This is a side quest now, but yeah, it was. It was invented by Listerine to sell mouthwash.
Yeah.
Great question, Sam. Very insightful. And can I say professional? According to the WHO, the World Health Organization, oral diseases affect nearly 3.5 billion people worldwide. Right. That's half of all of us. With tooth decay, that's what caries is, of permanent teeth being the most common condition, the most common oral disease. In the UK, according to the Oral Health Foundation, nearly one in three of adults have tooth decay, which is the most common reason for hospital admission among children as well, especially children aged 5 to 9. That's when the baby teeth are leaving and the adult teeth are coming in, according to NHS data. Another NHS survey from 2019 said a quarter of adults only visited the dentist when they had trouble. In the UK these days, that's if you can get in, eh? Bit of politics, James, which negates the benefits of all the preventive dental care that we need to do. And that's if you can find a dentist. So finding a dentist is about as easy, as James always says, as trying to plait snot. That's a very UK-based analogy. That same NHS survey showed that 77% of adults in England reported having one or more decayed, missing or filled teeth, highlighting the importance of regular dental care.
So, me excluded, obviously, because my teeth are offensive in every way. You know the tired old trope in television programmes and films about how bad English teeth are? Is there any truth to that?
Yeah, it's a perception rooted in cultural difference more than, and media portrayals, I guess, more than the biological aspect of it. The it doesn't separate aesthetics from tooth health.
Mm.
Where we are in the UK, there's less emphasis on cosmetic dentistry compared to in America. The British dental aesthetic has been focused on health and functionality rather than a perfect alignment, perfect brightness. And that probably is where that stereotype comes from more than health terms. In dental health terms, it's incredibly difficult to access dental care in the UK. It's getting worse and worse and worse. But historically, the UK ranks better or at least on a par with America and also with many other countries. It's a widely cited study from looking at decayed, missing and filled teeth, DMFTs, they call them brilliantly. That's an abbreviation, James. So the DMFT indices, which I like, found British dental health to be better than that of the US. Did you like that?
It's not a competition. Winning that one.
I would like to watch that competition. They should televise it. Maybe hosted by Melissa McCarthy.
We'll wait again, Sam.
What about how often we brush our teeth?
That is tremendous.
Sorry. I didn't think you'd read it out, but I can see now that you did.
It's an insightful question. Great. Well, thank you. Blah, 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 blah. So the general consensus, we all sort of have this cultural agreement that brushing twice a day is better than one, significantly better. It's important. But there is conflicting evidence and it's hard to find the truth. Some meta-analyses, remember they're the really good ones, have reported probably little difference between between I wouldn't saw twice, but it says between nonce and or twice in the script for some reason. There is something about correcting James, who has literally has both ADHD and probably dyslexia, and I correct his grammar on a podcast aggressively. There is something I love about that, that he's going to get me cancelled.
Is it because you do it?
No, I objectively do it every time.
Love about it.
Between nonsense. Yeah. No, I love it when you do it. So either way, it doesn't ding either way.
I never do it.
Also ding. There's also a Danish paper that suggested there's a slight bit of gum disease that can be increased by overbrushing. So twice a day with electric toothbrushes might be actually bordering on too much, but I can't find the freaking paper. Mm-hmm. It's not just about brushing. So your diet affects things. I got a bit upset at the thought of all those horrible, you know, that when they put a tooth in Coke and it's just a bullshit experiment that's got nothing to do with tooth health. It annoys me. Anyway, the use of fluoride is important in a positive way. Flossing and regular dental checkups are all involved and play significant roles in maintaining dental health.
Oh, you meant Coca-Cola, not cocaine.
Yeah.
And for once, you've actually not fucking scuppered my bit. So what about the thing?
Well, James, unsurprisingly, and can you just be a little bit patient, please? The evidence is about as strong as James's teeth if he hasn't fed on a bloody virgin for a few weeks. Most of the research, I'm enjoying this today. Yesterday, I did an impression of Kirsty Murphy, which was the worst Scottish impression anyone's ever done. So most of the research that we've got focuses on children with ADHD, which we can do is extrapolate from that with this, what is a painfully boring list, Klaxon. Children and adolescents with ADHD have worse oral health conditions and they need more attention from dentists and other professionals responsible for their diet and for keeping their teeth and mouth healthy. Children with ADHD have increased risk of tooth decay, caries, remember? Of traumatic dental injuries and probably have poor oral hygiene than children without ADHD. There's a systematic review suggesting that. Children with ADHD have higher DMFT scores, James. Decayed, missing and filled teeth. Tan children with ADHD, without ADHD. Presumably
going
that.
Heavy on. Going heavy on the errors today.
I really am. Children with ADHD almost... 0.4 times, which is an uncomfortable way of describing a statistic, 0.4 times less likely than non-ADHD children to brush their teeth at least once a day, and are up to 10 times more likely to eat the kind of sugary, starchy foods called cariogenic, because it means the genesis or creation of caries or tooth decay, cariogenic things. Anything that can stick on your teeth and stay there and provide an environment for bacteria to live and eat away, hard chewy sweets or candies, if you're that way inclined. Sam,
is there any
candies?
Research in adults?
Timing. There is some. Thank you. Well,
candies.
No, why would you? We're not American here. I want people listening to this to know there isn't like a delay. It's... Wait, when's your I mean, apropos of nothing, but you know how autism is a social communication challenge. When's your assessment?
29th of April.
I'm quite excited for it. I think I'm really hoping I don't learn too much about myself when you share this. There is some, well asked, yet again, flawless. Thank Adults you. With ADHD may show a reduced oral health-related quality of life. So the who? Not the band, James. Define that as multidimensional construct that reflects, amongst other things, people's comfort when eating, sleeping, engaging in social interaction, self-esteem, satisfaction with respect to oral health, all those kinds of things. It's really important. Higher levels of dental plaque in ADHD adults, as well as higher levels of dental anxiety, poorer self-related oral health. We also have a higher level prevalence of bruxism, and risk of increased dental trauma due to accidents. And that is death. James, what is that? What is bruxism?
I've got that.
Oh, when you grind, grinding your teeth.
I have to have Botox in my jaw because of it.
If only we did a personal reflections bit where you could share that. Oh, that face. You know, that horrible, like, I live for that because I am a monster in real life. I accidentally let the real me show then, didn't I? Damn it. and risk of increased dental trauma due to accidents, just like with children with ADHD. ADHD adults are more likely to smoke, which can lead to all those horrible things, tooth staining, gum disease, tooth loss because of capillary loss, and in more severe cases, even mouth cancer.
Some of this is obvious, but why is toothbrushing itself possibly an issue?
That is, I mean, you know, if BBC Question Time ever have a gap, they might be interested. Variety of reasons. I think a lot of people with ADHD in our community talk to us, don't they, about the inability to have routine of teeth brushing, of just the working memory of, oh, I've got to go and brush my teeth. Time blindness. Oh, remembering to start brushing your teeth, to go up and do it. Managing to brush your teeth for 2 minutes, which is approximately 1,000,000,000 hours. Is that, I think I'm right. And to do that every day and sometimes twice a day. Oh, nope.
Yeah, it's not going to happen, and it doesn't for me. Ding, I don't know. Anyway, we'll take a break and we'll be back in part two for the personal reflections that Sam just gave and a bit of tipping. See you in a bit.
Just the tip.
Bye.
No.
Alex, hi.
Hi. What's up? Hello, Governor.
Welcome back to episode 158 of...
Jesus Christ.
No gap, not even a countdown. Just
carry on, just carry on.
Coming back in 3, 2, 1. Welcome back to episode 158 of the ADHD Adults Podcast, where we're talking about ADHD and dental health. Here we're going to talk about our personal reflections. James, what about you with your fangs?
With my fangs.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, lots of shame about this. Obviously, when I was young, back in the 17th century, and had parents who were, had me late, let's put it that way, they were in their 40s, brushing teeth. I think they'd all lost pretty much, they both lost pretty much most of their teeth and both had false teeth, as I can remember as a child. So brushing teeth just wasn't reinforced. It wasn't a thing that, when it's the classic example of how to build a routine, is you need a cue, a habit, and then reinforcement. It's a bit like washing your hands. The cue is you go to the toilet. The habit is you wash your hands, and the reinforcement, which is positive or negative, is, oh, you wash your hands, good boy, or you didn't wash your hands, get back in there and wash them, and that builds a habit. So I never had that. Have you brushed your teeth? Good boy. I was about to say, oh, good girl. so it just never became a habit for me. I've always had, therefore, because of smoking and drinking brown fluids, stained teeth.
Ding.
And I remember, I've said this before, when I did, because I used to do a bit of stuff on the telly and that, and I remember one of the earlier things that I did on telly, obviously narcissistically, when I was on Twitter, when it was called Twitter, I thought, oh, well, have a look and see if anyone's commented. And the first comment was, oh my God, have you seen how yellow this guy's teeth are? And it fucking eviscerated me.
Oh my and Christ.
I learned very quickly to never check the internet after you've done anything public, because you just get comments like that. So I've got all this shame and guilt that I've never, ever really had that habit of brushing my teeth twice a day for extended periods. I've tried electronic toothbrushes that have timers. That just seems to make it worse, because I've been brushing for ages and then the 30 second thing goes off and I'm like, that's fucking 30 seconds. That was forever. I've tried piggybacking it on other activities, which works a bit. If I've got to go downstairs and get the post or something, that helps. And I've got to be honest, sometimes I just can't be arsed. I just can't be arsed, particularly in the evening. So I've got a decent morning toothbrushing routine because it's on my list of things that I tick off, and I take my medication in the bathroom after I've had a bath and do my hair and all that shit. So I kind of have a good morning routine, but in the evening I can't be arsed. I don't know what it is. I don't like the taste of mint in my mouth as I'm going to sleep. It's just like, oh, I've already got into bed, why should I get back up? Sam, I don't know if it's passive aggressively or what, we'll often say, have you brushed your teeth, James? Or shall we brush our teeth, for example, which makes me think, obviously my fucking breath stinks, because she's just lay next to me and said, Have you brushed your teeth, James? Which makes me feel great about myself.
Well, it might be a really like clumsy, like erotic technique.
No, it's it could be ages ago. You asked me to encourage you to do it, and I'm not very good at doing things subtly.
No, you're not.
Have you brushed your teeth tonight?
It's not even about subtly. You're not very good at the encouragement that doesn't come across kind of negatively. It's, you know, like the putting the headphones in while I'm eating makes me feel shit about myself. Saying like I'm 6 years old, should we brush our teeth, James? Again, makes me feel like that six-year-old boy that didn't brush his teeth. So generally,
what the headphones? What are you listening to?
Oh,
no,
nothing.
Just noise cancelling.
Just to block out the sound of him eating or breathing.
Or breathing or moving or saying anything or just basically being around her.
That checks out.
So generally I manage once a day, ding. And it's interesting because when I remember when I was a nurse and we had this is going back obviously hundreds of years. Mm-hmm. We had somebody that came in to talk about dental health, and I'm going to use
the leech guy.
It was, yes. It was very much about the humours, Alex, and how you need to go and sit in a dry room because you've got too much of one of the humours. So generally, I manage to brush my teeth once a day. I use fluoride mouthwash. And this is only because all those years ago, I was told if you rinse your mouth with water, then you're rinsing off the fluoride that's in the toothpaste, and therefore it kind of reduces the impact. Therefore, I rinse my mouth with a fluoride mouthwash. So it's not something that I'm happy with. I'd love to actually pay to get my teeth whitened, because whenever I see myself even on this, I just think, oh Jesus, yellow teeth, it's awful. I also remember as a child the dentist, who was a fucking bastard, by the way, he was evil, saying that I needed to have braces, and my mum saying, nah, you're all right. So wow. I could have had like a relatively nice straight smile, but my mum couldn't be arsed. And this is when
they could
it was free
have shaved
on the
those
NHS.
Two really long ones as well, couldn't they?
But I have, yeah, Alex, but you're not even joking. I have actually got fangs.
Yeah,
so,
I have. Mine grew over.
Yeah,
the
they're
top
not as good as mine. Get lost. Anyway, if you want my tip, and I know Sam does,
I do.
Yeah,
very much.
So again, this is about habits. Remember, if you're at that point, and there are some people I coach who are at this point where you're not brushing your teeth and you want to, it's not just going to happen. You have to try and build a habit and turn that habit into a routine. So that means, again, you need a cue, because for a habit, you need a cue. And that's the bit we forget, is the cue to brush our teeth. So there are things that you can do, like my list that's on the mirror. You can, for example, get a little sucky cup ding and put your toothbrush in the shower, so that when you shower, your toothbrush and toothpaste is in there. So it's right in front of you, so you see it. That's the visual cue. And as I said, kind of piggybacking on other stuff can help. And this is more than one tip. And this, again, is going back to when I had that session as a nurse years and years ago. Don't waste your money on ridiculously expensive toothpaste, because some of the tubes of toothpaste are now £7 or £8, which is mad. When you look at the list of ingredients, they are exactly the same as the list of ingredients for the stuff that's £1.50.
Poundland is your friend here.
Exactly. And some of the ones which work for sensitivity, that's different. But just when it comes to toothpaste, don't go with these ridiculous ones that absolutely do not whiten your teeth, but just claim to do that. So that's me. Sam, what about you?
That just reminded me I can only use one toothpaste, because if I use any other toothpaste, all the skin comes off my gums and the inside of my mouth, like in sheets, I can pull it off. And it's a nightmare, because when I go on holiday, they don't do miniatures of this particular toothpaste. So when I'm on holiday, I'm just every morning just pulling the skin off my gums. It's lovely.
Maybe that shows it's working. That is not what happens.
I'm really sensitive to toothpaste. Yeah. Really sensitive. It hurts my mouth and takes layers of skin off, apart from this one particular toothpaste. I have bruxism, as we mentioned before, and that would really affect my teeth, because obviously grinding it's getting the surface down. And I fucking love fruit. I eat loads of fruit, but it wears away the enamel. It kind of eats away at it at the front. My dentist would always say, have you been drinking lots of fruit juice? And I haven't been drinking lots of fruit juice. I've just been eating lots of fruit and grinding my teeth, probably immediately afterwards. My mouth, every tooth in my mouth is probably filled, maybe. I don't know, because I'm not very good with my teeth. But I'm really, really good at brushing my teeth. I have to. I can't not do it. But to do it, I have to do it in bed. Oh, that was my tip.
Ding. Can I just to point out as well, she doesn't just brush her teeth in bed. She does it with her mouth wide open. So toothpaste is spraying all over me.
Well, I have to do it while I'm laying.
Yeah, in that you're facing me and toothpaste is spraying all over my face.
Holy shit.
I know.
If I get into bed wearing an... And if I get into bed wearing an item of outside clothing, she goes fucking mental because I'm introducing germs into the bed, bro. She's spraying toothpaste and her phlegm everywhere.
James, furry costumes aren't items of outside clothing, though, are they?
Well, it depends where you've been wearing them. If we only wear them in the bedroom, then no. But it's if fine. There are outside furry costumes, then yes, it's introducing bacteria. So yeah. Only bedtime costumes. But yes, I brush my teeth the same way I was shown when I was in infant school. Because that's the way then in my head that I have to do it. But yes, that does involve, because I have to kind of, I do have to have my mouth open and do it a particular way. And yes.
Ding! Ding.
But I don't have a problem brushing my teeth, apart from the boredom, because I have to do it. I think it's an autism thing. It's one of the routines that I absolutely have to do, otherwise I don't feel right. So and I've got lots of weird routines, but this one is actually a good one. But if I don't do it, I don't feel right. So there's no way I could go to bed without brushing my teeth, because I would just feel too weird. And I don't have to wear, though, a mouth guard in my mouth anymore, since I have Botox in my gums. I don't have it in my gums. My jaw. So that's better, isn't it? Because I used to have to wear this mouth guard and then that would dig into my... I've had a new toothbrush, by the way. It's amazing, but it is hurting my gums. And it reminded me when you said, but I love my electric toothbrush. It's the best thing ever. But I had to use the gum health one today, because yesterday I used the white one, but it really went into my gums and hurted them. So I've had to move to the gum health one. Alex, what about you?
My producer said to me... Do you remember Ronnie Corbett from the old days?
Was he the little one?
Yeah.
Oh. It's the Alex, one that's like Alex. If the two of us.
No, that's not true. Actually, you can be Ronnie Barker these days, you know what I mean?
Did you provide a tip, Sam, by the way?
Yes. I brush my teeth in bed.
Don't,
and
that's
that
a terrible
me
tip.
To do it.
Don't do that.
Okay.
But it means I'm in bed, you see, because I get up and think, oh, I really want to get back into bed. So I do. I get back into bed with my toothbrush and lie there kind of snoozing and brushing my teeth.
That sounds like the worst experience I can imagine. Horrible.
I fucking love it. I have to brush them in bed. What about you, Alex? Yeah.
It's always been a bit of a problem for me, especially as a kid. So what interests me is this kind of definition of success that a lot of people with ADHD restrict themselves to. James often says that he struggles with teeth cleaning, but I don't. James, I never clean my teeth at night, ever.
Mm.
So when I say I don't struggle with teeth cleaning, it's because I don't give a shit. And you do. Mm. And it's that, I think, that's really interesting for people, adults with ADHD, to bearing in mind that for me, once a day with an electric toothbrush ding is enough that I don't get caries, because I don't need a filling. I go for checkups every 6 months and my teeth are good. I floss maybe once every 3 months or 2 months, and that's it. If I've eaten something smelly, I'll clean my teeth afterwards, but I can't do it at night. What you were describing, James, about why you don't brush teeth at night you're inside my brain describing what's in there, which makes me less unique and special than I want to be, but it's so accurate. It's exactly me. But since moving to electric toothbrushes a long time ago, 20 years ago, I've had zero fillings or problems. Meds cause dry mouth, which can cause bad breath for some people. I check that with my significant other because I really worry about it. And actually, the fear of bad breath is what helps me get my teeth cleaned on a regular. If I miss the routine in the morning, I'll forget the whole day. There's no other time I will think, oh, well, I'll brush my teeth. So when you talk about piggybacking, games, I do the cue that you have and the piggybacking.
Mm.
The piggybacking is double reward. While I'm cleaning my teeth, I do another task that I want to get done. In my case, I make the kids' beds and open their curtains in the room. That's it.
And I can do that with one hand.
I've got electro. In one hand, I've got this down pat. I might film it. It's an absolute. I can make the bed with a big flip with one hand of the duvet, of each duvet.
Oh.
And I open the curtains with one hand and I shut all the doors while I'm cleaning my teeth. That takes about 2 minutes.
The girls probably don't have a super king size bed, Sam. So I imagine it's probably easier to make a smaller bed.
But Sam, their single beds are pushed together. And you know, the wood in the middle, you can buy a V-shaped mattress called a love bridge. So
we've got one. We had one. Yeah, because we had twin beds and then I had a love bridge to straddle it. Yeah.
Brilliant. And now you've just got the standard bunk beds, have you?
Yeah.
Well, one bed, one coffin, obviously. But it's, you know, potato, tomato. The other thing is about the cue, James. When you said cue, do you mean C-U-E, like trigger or cue?
Yeah. Something that acts as a prompt for you to then engage in that habit.
So brilliantly, my cue is to have it in a cue. So my C-U-E is to have it in a Q-U-E-U-E. I make sure that the brushing the teeth is at the same time every day, which doesn't work for everybody. But it's also after and before something I always do as well. And that really, really helps me remember to do it. It's just something I do now with other things. If I did the other thing, I would be thinking, oh, well, I haven't done that. And same with taking the medicine. So that's my tip, really, is double bubble. Do find something else you would like to do that takes about 2 minutes at the same time. So one-handed, ding, ding, ding. And to cue up your toothbrushing and put it in a cue of other things. So dog food, teeth and hair is a really good example. I do it in that order every day. Sorting that is my that's it really, that's all I've got.
Can I add something that I forgot about?
Yeah,
and that is I can't remember whether you mentioned it or not, the increased fear of dentists I think is found in people with ADHD.
Yeah.
I haven't been back to the dentist since that time. I think it's 2 years ago, Sam, when it's not a very good dentist, our local dentist, but I went and a tooth over the period of about 2 years had been like bits had been chipping away and they'd been making the filling bigger until half of a premolar was a filling. And eventually that just broke off.
Yeah.
So they said, well, we'll have to take it out. And they put the anesthetic injection in and said, can you still feel your mouth? I said, yeah. And they put more in and said, that'll be okay. I said, no, I can still feel everything. And they then accidentally broke the tooth off as they were taking it out, exposing the nerve without pain relief. And the agony was unbelievable. But I was such a people pleaser that I didn't say, sorry, can you just stop and put more anesthetic in because I can feel all of my mouth. And as they were tugging at my tooth, I was kind of thinking, Jesus, I can feel all this, but I didn't stop them and haven't been back since.
Properly bonkers. I mean, dentists are a bit of a nightmare for many, many adults with ADHD. And not to live in the real world, don't they? Like, don't drink Coca-Cola or fruit juice. It's just nonsense, really. The evidence doesn't back that up because you swallow it with the saliva straight away. You know, if you held it in your mouth, sure.
And my dentist just died.
Unrelated.
Wow. No.
I loved him as well. He was amazing.
Oh, well, I'm
going to say sad. Hi, Dave, boys. Gone.
He'll be sat there with Robert listening in wherever they are. Anyway, to move things on, we've got time for a game, Alex. Ready? I was going to use this the other week, but I didn't because it was kind of obvious. So I burnt part of my body recently through kind of inattentiveness. And there's three options. So we've got an air fryer.
Whatever it is.
We've got an air fryer.
Very good
for cooking. And apparently they get quite hot. We've started using these paper inserts. There's a tip so you don't have to fucking clean them every time. These little paper baskets that sit in there. Brilliant. But I burnt my hand on an air fryer, not realizing how hot it was. So that's option one.
Hand.
Option two is that I burnt my lip because I couldn't wait for some Bachelor's super noodles to cool down, even though they are always as hot as a McDonald's apple pie when you go to eat them. And one of them kind of trailed down my lip and it burned.
Wait, air frying Bachelor's super noodles?
No, it's a separate thing. Option one is I burnt my hand on an air fryer. Option two is I burnt my lip eating Bachelor's super noodles, chip chop curry flavor, if you're interested, you know. And then option three is that our boiler's playing up at the minute, and you either get really hot water or just no hot water. And I ran a bath, didn't check the temperature, and burnt my feet, legs, and arse when I jumped into it.
That's a good one. I don't think it's super noodles because you don't buy curry flavor. You tend to buy O positive flavor because you're a Dracula.
That's a good one.
Also, saying that the psychologically saying the flavor is too much information, which is often a sign of deceit or uncomfortableness. I don't think you burnt your hand on the air fryer because you just put your whole face into it. Usually, like a little like an animal wearing your furry suit is a rat. So I think feet, legs, and arse, tightly or sex tape.
That's it is the title of my sex tape, and that's now 9-7 to me.
Because it's not the right answer.
You're wrong. It's not the right answer. Correct answer is my lip, and I was going to use this a couple of weeks ago, but you could actually see that it's gone now. It looks like I had herpes.
Curry flavor super noodles, it was.
I do. Right, on that fabulous note, we'll take a break and we'll come back in part three to answer some of your questions. See you in a bit.
Bye.
No.
Right, can we actually record the fucking podcast we're meant to be recording, do you think?
Yes.
Right. Coming back in one, two,
no. three. I haven't got the patience.
Sex. Welcome back to episode 158, where we're talking about ADHD and dental health on the ADHD Adults Podcast. As always in part three for like the last two, God knows, we're answering the questions that you sent in to using the form on www.theadhdadults.uk.
I
haven't got it written down, sorry. Have you got a question for Sam? Go on, ask us summit.
Yes, from Alex. Dear you lot, I'm recently diagnosed 44-year-old ADHD bloke in Australia and a fan. I was just scanning your podcast topics for body doubling and couldn't find one. Apologies if I've somehow missed it. Sorry, I'm just completely derailed by this because I keep thinking I should have put this in topic suggestions, not... question. Oh no, there is a question. I'm getting ahead of myself. I was just scanning your podcast topics for body doubling, couldn't find one. Apologies if I've somehow missed it. Of all the weird idiosyncratic shit I've experienced in my life, learning about this trait felt the most revelatory. I am near useless when alone, trying to focus on certain things. Ding. Even creative stuff I love. However, put me in a room with another person, ding, also undertaking the task, ding, and I'm a total machine, ding, 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 ding. Even if we don't say a word to each other, ding. What the fuck is going on here? Can you please explain why stroke how this happens, neurologically speaking? Thanking you all for your work and humour. That was definitely a question. Sorry, I got derailed and wanted to put it in the topic suggestions thing. We do this on Patreon, ding. No, not that. James, go.
I don't know about the neurological basis for it, but the way in which I understand it's not something I don't think. I'm not aware that a lot of research into the why of it working, for example, has been done. But if you remember, most people, not all with ADHD, have less intrinsic or internal motivation. And we are often amotivated, i.e. we lack motivation, but we do respond to external motivation. So people pleasing, deadlines, stuff that other people want us to do. And I think it's probably that it is adding an element of external accountability and motivation, because there's someone there, even if you don't really know them, for example, even if it's not in the same room, but there's somebody there who if in a body doubling session, you at the start say, right, I'm going to do these things, or I'm going to aim to tackle this task now, you've got to kind of report back to them and say whether you did or not. So I think it's probably, I fucking hate the word hacking when it comes to ADHD, but it's probably hacking people pleasing and the way in which we work to external accountability. But I'm not happy to be corrected. I'm willing to be corrected by Alex.
Well, there's nothing I would like more than to correct you, but it can't. You're absolutely right. We've sort of internalized as a society this bullshit idea that external validation is bad. But we're not fucking cats. It's good to be. So this hormone.
Oh, God. Oh, okay. No.
And if that's wrong, then I'm guilty. No, we're gregarious, predatory species. That's what we are. Neurologically, we have hormones that trigger synapses. So oxytocin, the bonding hormone, that dopamine, obviously, and other neurotransmitters are available. These are there to make us like and communicate and bond. We care about other members of our species in our village, in our tribe, who aren't our family, who aren't our children. That is a phenomenally cool thing about our species. It's one of the good things when you're feeling all the hate in the world. That's a great thing to remember. So the idea that external validation is bad is too simple. External validation can be very healthy if you control and choose what activities you're being externally validated for. If you're in charge of that narrative, it's healthy. That's an internal locus of control. That's what it's called, about external or extrinsic validation. That's healthy. When you're doing it for everything, so someone asks you a question, you feel always obliged to answer it with all your information, that's unhealthy, you know, if you're not in charge of the narrative. So it's what you are is a human who has external validation, and all humans do. It's just the level. So as James said, I say accurately, but, you know, sometimes blind things pick up corn, don't they, James? What you've done is, hacked into the fact that we are gregarious predatory species. It's a good thing. Can I ask a question? Unless, Sam, have you got thoughts on that, on body doubling?
No, not at all.
Thank you. Question two is from Leroy Bianco, which is a brilliant name. This is one where I'd love to hear from Mrs. ADHD. No one, like, this is the first time a letter's ever started like that. Not because she's more entertaining than James or Alex. I mean, she is. But I would love to hear how she came to, I mean, it is true, how she came to suspect she has ASD as well as ADHD. Now I'm on methylphenidate and getting coaching from ADHD. I'm noticing a lot of possible autistic behaviours. Just to remind you, autistic spectrum disorder, some people say condition, ASD, behaviours that were probably camouflaged by my ADHD. Yes, I've gone online and spent hours doing all the tests at least five times. Given the amounts of overlap, though, it's difficult to know how to tell whether something is ADHD or ASD, or when ADHD might be camouflaging for the autistic traits. Anyway, that's far too many A's and E's. Ding! And I think my head is going to explode. Ding! Just want to say how much finding the podcast helped me at a difficult time. I hope it continues to be the same shambolic mess or interrupted wank that we all know and love. Thank you. No name on it. I'd love. Oh, no, Leroy Bianco. So, Sam, what was the process of suspecting you were ASD as well? Do you use the term ASD for yourself?
Autistic? ASD? I normally say autistic, but ASD is fine. ASD is fine, whatever. I first came to suspect it because people kept writing in and telling me that I was.
Wow.
How
is your mom?
Loads of people kept writing in and saying, oh my God, you're just like me. You're autistic and you have ADHD as well. And I was like, no, I've just got ADHD. Yeah. But people kept insisting. So then I came to you and James and said, people keep saying I'm autistic. What do you think? And you both went, oh, finally. You've realised. And James got me to do the AQ50. And yeah. I scored 43 out of 50. And
out
he
of
said,
42.
out of 50. And he said, yeah, I think that's more. Because obviously lots of us with ADHD have autistic traits.
Yeah, I do, famously.
There's lots of crossovers, and there's lots of crossovers as well as having autistic traits. So it could have just been that. But yeah, when I did the AQ 50 and scored 43, we realised that I was probably autistic. And I have had my appointment through. I could choose it. So I spent ages trying to choose it because I wanted to be really quick choosing it. But at the same time, I wanted to choose somebody that was really good. So I had to quickly read through all of the reviews. So I was looking through really quickly and trying to look for anybody that mentioned that they were a woman and they'd been diagnosed, or they had ADHD and then they were diagnosed with autism. And I found somebody and I've booked myself in on the 29th of April. And yeah.
It's really wonderful. Can I make just a boring comment? If you are out there and you're doing the AQ50 on your own online, then it can be a little bit unreliable without mental health support. Sam has James, who really knows about this stuff, and Sam also knows loads about mental health. And so it's not, it's if it's coming out negative, but you feel that that's wrong, then it might be, and you might need mental health support. That's all. It's not designed like the ADHD one. It's kind of designed to do on your own, but the AQ50 isn't. Unless you've got a bit of support behind you for the autism assessment. So just don't feel panicky if it's coming out negative and you don't agree with it. It could just be that the questions aren't as clear as they probably should.
Yeah, the questions aren't as clear.
No.
From the perspective of somebody that is forced to live with Mrs. ADHD,
yeah.
What I think is interesting is she has both unmasked, and therefore, and I'm really happy that she has, and she feels comfortable yeah. enough to display her uniqueness in its full glory. But also, now we look back at our history, how the fuck we didn't know is amazing, because it's just so obvious. But again, yeah. It comes down to that fact that we didn't know really what autism was, in the same way as if you go back long enough, we didn't know what ADHD was. And when you actually learn how it presents differently in different people, yeah. particularly the issues around communication and social norms, it's just so glaringly obvious.
Yeah, and I probably should say as well, I've just realized that they're probably asking what, because it can be difficult sometimes when you've got, and it took me a long time to work out, well, what is ADHD and what is yeah. autism, and because I kept coming to James and saying, well, I don't think I've got ADHD, I think I'm just autistic, because they're both the same. And James would say, no, you've definitely got ADHD as well, you're very hyperactive, and there's like certain things about me that wouldn't just be it was really hard for me to differentiate between the two of them. But I think for my ASD, I have lots and lots of sensory issues, which I know people can have when they have ADHD. I also do have restrictive routines and things that I have to do in a specific way, even though it doesn't necessarily make sense or isn't the best way, but I have to do it in that way. Otherwise, I don't feel right. So there was that, but also... Yeah. Change. I really don't respond well to change. That is a major thing for me. And I can't kind of switch. If I think that the day is going to happen a certain way and something unexpected happens, that can completely destroy me to the point that I can't do anything.
This is so crucial. Let's just dead quickly, that transition from one thing to another. People with ADHD often have the executive function where they want to transition into another task but can't yeah. practically, and their brain won't. That isn't this, is it? You're not describing that. You also have that. That's the ADHD side of
yeah.
it. But you're yes. talking about the emotional feelings and comfortableness of transitions, yes. which I don't have.
Yeah, yeah. I have to. So I have to now go into Sam's office, because obviously that's where she spends all her time, and go, change alarm, change alarm. There's a chance this might be happening later. So I'm just going to leave you to sit with that for a bit before I come back.
Emotionally. Yeah.
Because what James would do is he'd come in really excitedly and go, right, James. Okay, instead of doing this, we're going to do this, really excited, and then would just leave me, and I would crumble and could not function. So it was just the fact that I can't even explain it. I just just the response if anything unexpected happens, even if it's the best thing ever that happens. It might be a surprise that somebody's bought me or somebody has turned up to see me. I cannot cope with that. And I can't explain why. It's just everything feels wrong and awful.
Sam, in the pattern recognition part of the brain at the, behind the eye.
Yeah.
If you've got a pattern, like what's going to happen, if something breaks that and you haven't decided to, it goes directly to the fight or flight response, the fear and anger response. And that's stronger, they think, in people with who are autistic than, well, it happens to everybody, but it's a stronger emotional response.
Yeah.
And so it's you know, fundamentally probably
And on a smaller level, it'll happen if, say, if I want to tell a story that's really boring along, but James has already heard it five times and he says to me, listen, Sam, I've already heard this and I can't listen to it again. And I'm going, I absolutely have to finish this story. And he's going, I can't, Sam, I can't. You've told me five times. And I'm going, I've got to. I'm not going to feel right unless I finish it. And he's going, oh, God, no. I can't.
Can't
I
you can't, tell the cat?
It's really
she probably does.
The cat's legged it.
But yeah, I could go on about this for ages. There are loads of things. And actually, when you start falling into the ASD hole, you'll see it. But also the one thing, other thing I want to mention is there are lots of people that report that their ASD symptoms do get worse once they start getting treated for ADHD. I don't think that's the case for me, but lots of people do report it. So, you mentioned that you're now on methylphenidate and yes, it might get worse for some people.
For some people, they report that it literally gets worse for other people.
And some people, it gets better.
Does it? I haven't heard that.
For some people, it can improve. And actually, in some places, you're prescribed ADHD meds for autism because some people, it can improve. Like, obviously, people with autism have struggles with executive function as well. It can improve that. And so, it's different. We're all different, basically.
Minefield, Leroy Bianco. Great question.
Yes.
James. Shall I go next then? Yeah, thank you. So this is from Soreen on Discord. I've been diagnosed for over a year and medicated for half of that. Lately, I've noticed and feel my time blindness is getting worse. Single rabbit ears. Rabbit ear? No. Don't believe that's the correct word for it, but it's all I've got. Is this possible, for example, depending on a variety of life circumstances, or is it more likely to be a type of unmasking? For context, I'd always been a get there early and sit in the car park and wait time of type of person. Sam's nodding, so I'm going to go to you first, Sam.
I am nodding because I'm the same. For me I think it's definitely unmasking because I used to put myself through so much stress because I know that I am the last minute get there late for everything. I used to, as a coping mechanism, get there extra early. I don't anymore, and I think it's just because I think, well, this is me. And I think it's that for me, but I don't know what you two think. But yeah, for me, it's definitely, I think, no, I'm not going to do that anymore because that used to really stress me out. So I don't. What about you? You've written, so. Oh, go on, Alex.
Yeah, no, James, go on. What?
So time blindness is absolutely central to ADHD. And Russell Barkley and others have talked about how it could be the central deficit when it comes to paying attention, because this idea of something temporally being distant to us means we struggle to engage with it and we work, you know, hyperbolically on tasks, etc. But time blindness is so easily influenced by the other issues we've got. So distractibility and poor working memory will always exacerbate time blindness, because if you're doing something and then you get distracted and you forget you were doing the thing, and then all of a sudden you're doing something else, then that thing that definitely was going to take half an hour takes a lot longer. And I think Sam is probably right. As we unmask and start to both unmask and learn what ADHD is, and therefore we can spot the things that we used to maybe just, you know, shame ourselves for, it may feel like things are getting worse. But it might just be that you're more aware of things. But obviously, we're all different, and it does depend from person to person. That's what I'd say. What about you, Balloonhead?
Yeah, so what? How do you describe time blindness, James? Because it's not actually one thing. It's not a thing, is it? What does it include?
It's three things. So it includes issues with time estimation. So that's the ability to estimate how long it takes to do something. Issues with time reproduction. So that's ability to do something you've done before in the same amount of time as you did it previously. The perception of time passing and the ability to view the future as a linear, if you like, extension of now. So time being this thing that goes forward. And it's thought that a lot of the lack of self-care and low self-esteem is due to that inability to see that there are future consequences of our actions because we don't view time in the same way.
Wow. Yeah. All of those.
Yeah. All of them. Mine haven't got worse or better. What I will say is that this, what Soreen, I love Soreen, do you?
I know.
On Discord has said is about the variations. If you get periods, if you're on perimenopause, menopause, if you're struggling with sleep, if you're using any substances, just tired or anxious or something, all of that can exacerbate all ADHD symptoms, including this one. So they can just vary for biological or personal anxiety reasons. But mine haven't at all, but I think that's I'm a lot steadier. So I think it's connected to me making healthier choices and being lucky enough not to have periods. That's a big part of it.
Sam. I think about this one that when you were saying about the estimating how much time it takes to do tasks, I started this. Those that watch ADHD tasks will know this already, so sorry, but I started this kind of scheduling project where I've written down everything that I have to do outside of work, and then I've worked out how long it will take me to do each task and how often I need to do it, and then plotted it out and realized even if I gave up my full-time job and never slept, I don't have enough time to do all of the things I do outside of work. But then as well, going through it, as I'm going through and trying to schedule these in, I'm realizing the times that I've estimated for things are just not anywhere near the amount of time that it takes me to do things. And I have absolutely no idea. I think that'll take me 10 minutes easily. 3 hours later, yeah, I'm like, I'm still writing the same email. It's mental how long it takes me to do things. Insane. Yeah. Sorry.
Well, that was episode 158 of the ADHD Adults podcast, where we talked about something ADHD, teeth, oral ding, dental health, etc. If you enjoyed this episode, not sure why, you can listen to more, maybe, why not, possibly. You can get in touch via the website, you can buy stuff, you can leave comments, etc. www.theadhdadults.uk, etc. See you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye, all.
I was going to work the other day, and well, just as I was about to set off for work, I realized that my boot needed gluing. I'd glued it before, but it just hadn't glued properly. So I glued it just before I got in the car, but then I couldn't wear it because I needed to put something heavy on it to let the glue set. So I put my heavy bag on top of my boot and then wore a bright orange trainer and one black boot, and then got in the car, drove to work, picked up my rucksack, walked into work, looked down at my feet and thought, I'm wearing one bright orange trainer and one black boot, which actually reminds me, the day that my boss died, my other boss, who's now my boss, but he, because obviously the one died, unfortunately, it was awful, yeah. I'm sorry, but Anthony then told me that my boss was dead, and then he went, and by the way, Sam, you're wearing completely odd shoes on your feet. One of them is black and round-toed, and the other is grey and pointy-toed. And I went, brilliant, thanks ever so much. I hadn't noticed that, and now I'm going to be really self-conscious of this all day because you've told me. And he was really sad that he told me. But anyway, I had to go back, and this glue still hadn't set. So then I had to walk into work just standing on my tiptoe, and then I took it off when I got to the office and just held it in the one hand while I typed with the other hand for ages. And then when it was set, I had to wash my hands 15 times.
Why didn't you put the other orange shoe on?